WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell a story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, welcome. Welcome to Monday Night Talk. We are broadcasting live from the Hanover Council on Aging. And I want to thank the fine folks who are here in the room. Give yourselves a round of applause for being here. Not to mention, we also have several special guests who are going to be joining us. Starting off with my co-host, who also made this happen, along with Marilyn Greenstein. Stein?
Stein.
Stein. Tomato, tomato. But Marilyn, very instrumental, as well as the director of Elder Affairs and Community Services here in Hanover, Tammy Murray.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
It's okay. This is the third time, right?
It might be the fourth. Definitely three.
Definitely. All right, definitely three times. And what we're here to do is entertain the fine folks who are here, the folks who are listening. You can come on down to 665 Center Street in Hanover. We'll be here till 8 o'clock. We'll run down the list of guests that we have other than Tammy. We'll get to know what Tammy's doing as she has been here as serving as the Director of Elder Affairs and Community Services. We have, he's already sitting up here, warming up in the bullpen, Joe Colangelo. He is Hanover Town Manager. Joe.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll have you in just a few moments after traffic, so sit tight. We also have sitting in the audience at the moment, Ginny Johnson, who is the executive director of the Hanover Public Library. We have Ben Quell, veterans agent, and as well, Steve O'Neill, director of Hanover's Historical Society. And they have agreed this evening, they were going to be guests, but they've also agreed to kind of be our transitional music for in and out of break. We have Scott, David, Mike, and Dave of Mountain Weekend, who are going to be here to tell us a little bit about themselves and perform. So let's give everybody who's here a round of applause. And let you know that it is special, and it's very interesting as well. We have Rob and Lisa from WATD South Shore Morning News. And I've already met a few people who are excited to see Rob, knowing that Rob and Lisa and Tammy are all Hanoverians. Did I say that right?
Hanoverians.
How bad am I? But knowing that they are homegrown, looking forward to talking to Rob and Lisa, getting their perspective, as well as hearing some music from Mountain Weekend. Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
What are you excited about?
Just being able to do this again. I have so much fun being on the show with you. I had fun this morning. I think it's cool for people to watch. Like, I just love it.
And also to listen and also talk about the great town of Hanover. So many different things, and we have so many of the individuals who are going to be coming here just to talk a little bit about what it is that they do as they serve this great town. We even got five questions with these town officials. Just fun stuff. But we get to know them, and we also get to find out as to some of the things that you've been up to, Tammy, since you've kind of come here. I know that there's a big open house coming up this Thursday that we want to make sure that we inform folks about. To come on down and check out what's going on here at the Senior Center.
Yep, it's from 5 to 8 on Thursday. There'll also be live music that night. We love music here.
I have to say, this morning, listen, I heard her this morning, and she was so at ease, but now she's kind of here, and there's a crowd in front of her.
Everybody's looking at me.
They're all looking at her. But what's fantastic is that we are here we check traffic.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm being talked to in my ear, we're actually going to pull into the WATD Traffic Center. It's being brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop, online at BrennanSmokeShopMA.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now Pope's Island, New Bedford. And who do we have on the other end telling us what's happening out on the roadways?
Well, Kevin, hi, it's Lisa DeMilo.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
What's
hi, everyone down there. The expressway south is jammed from the tunnel down towards the gas tank, and you're back in it after Bryant Ave all the way down to the split. Northbound is curling from Braintree up past Neponset Circle, and then again approaching the tunnel. Route 3 south is slowed down past Union Street. 3 north is good. No problems on the bridges either heading on or off Cape, and routes 24 and 44 are good. You can't change the whole world, but you can change the world for a child in poverty. Choose your child now at compassion.com/radio. Traffic on the 9th every morning. I'm Lisa DeMilo in the WATD Traffic Center.
The Sergeant Chesna Memorial Golf Tournament to support the Chesna family will be held Thursday, October 18th at the Pine Hills. To volunteer, donate, sponsor, or play, contact Seth Wyatt at 774-776-5056. It's the first annual Sergeant Chesna Memorial Golf Tournament at the Pine Hills, Thursday, October 18th. Call Seth Wyatt at 774-776-5056. That's 774-776-5056 to donate, volunteer, play, or sponsor.
Download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
3, 2, 1. All right. Coming to you live from the Hanover Council on Aging. Some fine tunes from Mountain Weekend. Stay tuned. You'll be able to hear more of these gentlemen throughout the evening. And later on, as we'll get to know the guys specifically. But right now, it's time for us to get to know the two folks who are sitting up here at the table with me, starting with Joe Colangelo. Joe.
Hello. Thanks for having
me. Welcome. So what's this rumor that you are the town manager? What's the role of a town manager?
I think that's an excellent question, one I get often asked. Sometimes people ask, well, is it like a mayor? You know, what is it like? The town manager is really being the CEO of a municipality. I'm hired by the Board of Selectmen to deliver the services, unlike a mayor form of government that some people might be used to. I deliver them in an apolitical manner, and we develop a business plan, and we kind of approach it more like a business. So it's really delivering the services that the taxpayers here have decided to pay for and doing to the best of our ability.
What's a day like for you in your office?
Well, I think, you know, that's the job is just, I've always enjoyed this profession and this job because the days are so varied. Every day is different. I start my day, I get to the office at 6:30 because only the first hour and a half of the day is the only time I can actually get some work done before the phones start ringing and people start coming in, and just a nonstop stream of people coming in and suggesting solutions to problems, or more often than not, you know, bringing up problems. And I've always enjoyed interacting with all the different people who come in and interact with me, and you know, just every day is very enjoyable just because of that interaction.
Do you get a lot of confusion that folks confuse your job with a town administrator?
Yeah, and there are, you know, local government is very interesting across the country, quite frankly. I was in Vermont before this.
Wait, how did you get here?
and I taught local government at the University of Vermont there, and the students would start out not interested in the subject at all. Sometimes people in the civics class, as they're growing up, they learn a little bit about the federal government, maybe a little bit less about their state government, and hardly anything about how local governments work. And local governments across the country operate in different ways or organized in different ways. One of the most significant differences between a administrator position and a manager is my position is the authority is given to it by the bylaw that the legislative body, the town meeting, has voted in. So, you know, I guess you could say it has a little bit more statutory authority than just the administrator position has.
What has it been like getting acclimated to the town of Hanover? Again, somebody who was in Vermont, and actually you and I had a conversation off air, and you were somebody who actually also lived in another part of the country, too.
Yeah, I grew up in the Midwest. I was in Vermont for about a dozen years before coming here. My wife is from the area, so we have a young family. We thought this is a good time to be down in the area. You know, but, and I've said this honestly, when I came down for the interviews last March, and this was in between a bunch of storms, you know, quite honestly, I was so impressed and enjoyed Hanover so much when I was driving around for the 3 or 4 days that I was in town that I kind of decided I was going to move here regardless if I got the job or not. So it was really kind of a cherry on top to actually get the job and to for my family and I to move into town. So we've really enjoyed it.
I kind of feel like I'm hogging the microphone from my co-host. Is there a particular question or set of questions you want to ask Tammy?
I'll choose the one I wrote. What's your favorite band?
My favorite band? I'll be honest, I've always been, of course.
Mountain Weekend.
I've always been a fan of The Boss. I'm the E Street Band, the Bruce Springsteen. Probably up there, probably the one of any band, the one I listen to the most, but pretty eclectic choice of music. I'll listen to anyone.
Interesting part of your job that no one would ever imagine, that you have to, things that you have to handle that folks probably don't understand.
I think that, most people understand in the winter that they wake up, and especially in Hanover, the roads are plowed, and that if, you know...
That happens?
And if the unfortunate situation arises where a fire alarm goes off and the fire trucks or the ambulance need to show up, it feels like magic for the outside world. It seems like, well, that's just the way it's supposed to happen. But being part of it every day, you really get an appreciation from all the staff and everyone, the boots on the ground, whether it's the police officers, the firefighters, the people who work on the DPW and take care of those roads and make sure that the water gets delivered to customers, of how intricate and complicated it is and how much just to appreciate the work that they do. It's not easy. And it just takes a lot more than people probably recognize on a day-to-day basis. When it goes well, it looks easy. It looks like it's supposed to happen that way. It looks like the roads are just supposed to be magically plowed before you get up to go to work. But it's simply, it's much more complicated and involved in that. And it's a good satisfaction when it is done well and it does look easy.
What's the learning curve as to some of the issues that concern the voters and the taxpayers of this community that you've been kind of getting involved with and understanding so you can be able to handle them on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, well, definitely researching the job when I came here, I was shocked when I was learning about the fireworks site that although it was a fireworks site, fireworks was a term for explosives. So getting more involved in that project and learning about the cleanup of that property that's not too far actually from this building has been interesting to come and be part of that.
One thing that you love about this community? One thing. And if you want to spill over to 203, I'm sure some of the folks wouldn't mind hearing it.
Well, it's simple. And again, it's the reason that when I came here 5-6 months ago to interview for the job that I immediately was drawn to it and wanted to be here is it just feels like home. You know, it feels like a hometown. It feels like a place where people want to be, where people want to feel like they're part of the community. And it's special. Some of that is because there are excellent amenities. There's great ball fields. There's facilities like the one that we're in today that are very welcoming. And then there's also, I think, a spirit that's involved or just a feeling within the community of taking care of it and taking pride in it. You see people around town. It almost feels like a college town in the sense that people are wearing their Hanover High gear. Going to events.
Go Indians.
And it has a great feel like that. So it's something I was immediately drawn to and something I really enjoy about the town.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us for a few moments.
Thank you.
And welcoming us, because that was kind of your duty, is kind of just to welcome us here to Hanover to be able to kind of talk a little bit about this great community, and we wish you great success down the road.
Thank you so much.
Thanks you got it. Me. All right, let's give this little round of applause to Joan. And now I turn my attention to your Director of Community and Elder Services. This is a chance for me to kind of get an idea as to some of the things that you guys are doing here at... I don't know what that is, but...
it's always something.
we'll work through this, but... Talk to me. What's it been like since we last were on the air? Here you are in Hanover. What's it like getting used to... this center and some of the things that you've been able to implement?
It's been pretty surreal. First, before I start, I want to thank my board members who were able to make it here tonight.
Please do, yes. Round of applause to them.
They're really supportive of everything that I've been trying to do. So that's a huge plus when your board and the friends group want to work with you and grow. So some of the things that I've done here, you'll recall I did in my previous life, which is to start the author series, which will be coming up at the end of this month. Night programming, night exercise classes.
You get a thumbs up from Ginny, who's in the audience. Very much loves that.
She's the librarian.
Kind of makes sense, right? Yeah.
So, so it's been great. We have dinners here once in a while, which I think is excellent because we'll get like 30 to 50 people who just don't want to sit home and have dinner alone. And we actually cook like real food. It's not like processed food. So it's a really healthy meal that we'll make. We have a couple of lunches with a partnership with the Friendship Home in Norwell. And they provide lunch and serve to everybody. So it's really just been fun.
I didn't realize that you grew up here. I didn't learn this until I tuned in this morning to the South Shore's Morning News and learned that the little trio that was in studio had something in common, that they're all homegrown, that you grew up here. What's it like to be able to come home and be able to work in this community?
It's awesome. This community gave me a lot through my teenage years, which aren't always the best years, but they're always memorable. Mm-hmm. It's great to see teachers or their spouses that come in, or people that were friends with my parents when I was younger that come in, or my principal. I joke with him that he retired the year after I was in the senior class. He'll say he remembers me and I wasn't that bad, but things like that are just wonderful. You know, I go into the library and where it's been expanded, but there's still so much from the old library that I remember. You know, so it's really awesome.
Nobody chasing you down for overdue books or anything
no,
like that?
No, luckily.
what programs have you been able to enhance or add or maybe work on here at the center?
We've added a lot of yoga classes. People seem to love the stretch classes that we have. Like I said, the night events that will be coming up. We've also added, we're looking to add additional Zumba classes and wellness classes. But what I find here is that a lot of people like the educational classes where they can learn something. Or we have a wonderful artist who comes in and she dresses in character and does a performance. I mean, I saw her do Helen Keller and I just cried my eyes out for like days. It was beautiful. So it's things like that that we'd love to add. We're always open to suggestions though too, because we can't think of everything that would fit everyone's needs. But that's really what we're shooting for, a little bit of everything. And the music. I love bringing music into the center. We had a luncheon on a Sunday last year and there were about 75 people here watching a swing trio, which was just amazing, you know. So as long as people want it, I'll keep offering it.
You've already mentioned about the open house, the importance of that. We'll make sure we mention that a couple more times for folks who are listening. But what are some of the other things, some of the other events that you have that are coming up other than the author series, other than the open house, and if you want to kind of expand upon the open house once again?
So the
importance
open
of
house,
coming
yeah.
by so during, during operating hours.
Yep. It's from 5 to 8, and everyone's welcome to come in. We're having a ukulele band that's coming in from South Shore Conservatory, and there'll also be a jazz performer. I believe if it's nice enough, he'll be out on the patio.
Very nice.
Hors d'oeuvres will be available. We'll be handing out all sorts of information, not only about the Council on Aging, but Parks and Rec and the FACE group that works through the school. So we'll have that available, as well as things from the Historical Society. So it's really... just to let people know how much is actually available.
And also, if you want to run down the list, I don't know if we've mentioned all the authors. Who are some of the authors that you have coming in? Starting, I believe on September 20th with Hank Philippi Ryan.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that one. I've met her once before. She's an amazing speaker. I found her even though she's writing fiction, she's so inspirational. Mm-hmm. So she'll be here on the 20th of September. On October 11th, there's Stephen Kirkchian. I know I'm probably saying that
I tried
wrong.
It a few times. That's why she's saying it. It works best if she says it.
He wrote Master Thieves, the Boston gangsters who pulled off the world's greatest art heist, which is about the Stuart Gardner Museum, which I'm really excited to learn more about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
On October 25th, we'll have Hanover resident Jerry Thornton. He's always hysterically
new
funny
book.
To listen to.
Brand new book out,
yep,
Five Rings. Yep.
And then Casey Sherman and Dave Wedge, who I've had the pleasure of meeting before, will be here on November 1st. And then on November 8th, we're wrapping up with Marianne Leone, who is also hysterical.
Fantastic. And I've had a chance to speak with each one of these except for the gentleman that you can't say his last name. I was actually watching Casey Sherman on NESN last night as he was doing something with Andy Brickley, talking about his new book on Tom Brady. So you've got some fantastic authors that are coming in, and mm-hmm. I'm sure it's something that'll be an ongoing thing.
Yep, and this is in collaboration, I should mention, with the John Curtis Library, and we'll be giving out an award to each of the authors that come.
Now, besides someone who's overseeing elder services here, you also do community services.
I do.
So you're wearing how many hats? Because there's like another hat on the list here, too.
Less than I was a month ago. But it's really awesome to me because one of the things that drew me to this position was how community services was made up. I loved that all these different departments were kind of forced to work together because they all reported to the same person.
Okay.
So although once Joe came, he had it reviewed and we've broken apart some of it, which is a natural break as far as I'm concerned. But so the departments that report to me are the Council on Aging, the Veterans Office, Parks and Rec, the cable channel, the local cable channel, and the visiting nurses. So they're all actually in my wheelhouse. And the cool thing was that like I came here to experience that kind of camaraderie and now I get to lead it. So it's really been an awesome experience.
I see there's a couple of questions. Any of these for you or for
this is a reminder.
Guests?
This is a reminder for me to say that all the events are free to the public and all ages are welcome.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Keeping us
honest. And I think we also have do we not have like a door prize or something that's going on? Should
oh,
we mention that?
We do
that
have
as
a
well?
Door prize. I don't know the rules.
Marilyn, you know nobody can hear you way out there. So you can feel free to come on up. and tell the fine folks at Marilyn, what's Marilyn's role here?
Marilyn is the marketing consultant, and she assists with the evening events.
Yes, Marilyn. Yes, dead air's not good.
So we have a raffle tonight. The prize is quite good. I think anyone who gets it will love it. And we will...
We're keeping that a secret, right?
Anybody who's had a ticket, we're keeping it a secret.
We're keeping it a secret.
But when you, if you've got a ticket, the other half of your ticket is in a basket, which will be for the drawing. And when the show is over, we will announce that person. We'll pick it. Someone from the audience can pick the ticket. So if you don't have a ticket, let me know. I'm happy to give you one.
Is the prize really a secret?
Well, it's the intrigue, right?
Yeah,
it's the intrigue.
I'll tell you the prize. The prize
is it bigger than a bread box?
Yes. The prize is two tickets to Arlo Guthrie, October 14th.
Ooh,
so it's a great prize, and the lucky winner will be seen soon.
Mm-hmm. And I want to give a little bit of a shout out to Christine James, who is listening back in the WATD newsroom, and she pronounces it Kirkchian.
Kirkchian.
Thank you very much,
Christine.
And then there was also another question in regards to the yoga. Is this seniors at all ages?
We actually, for the yoga classes, will allow any age to come in as long as you're over 18 at this point. But we're adding the Beyond the Mat yoga meditation in the evening. That's from 5:45 to 7. So, any age can come to those.
Okay. It's also worth noting that you are an elected official. You're not just somebody who has been hired here in Hanover, but you're also, I think, a sitting selectman in another town.
I am in the town of Kingston, yes.
What's that like?
It's interesting. I wasn't ready for this, no. It's cool. I live in Kingston. I didn't love leaving my job in Kingston, although this opportunity is amazing. So I wanted to stay in contact with the people that I worked with. for the town, the people of the town that I served. So it just gives me the opportunity to stay involved and stay on top of things and input on things that I think could change.
Okay.
So it's been cool.
One thing that you love about the town of Hanover. You can expand if you want to say more than one.
I guess the biggest thing for me, and it's more, I mean, the historical parts of the town I just love. I buy all the books that people write. Like, I love that part of it. But for me, it's kind of like what Joe said about the community. There's so many volunteers. There's so many people that want to be involved. Everybody wants to help somebody else. It's just a nice, positive environment.
Last question I'll ask, and this is just coming from a foodie, and you don't have to worry about just saying one name. Best place to eat out in Hanover? Is there one?
I don't know. I love food. I don't eat that often, but my favorite place.
You want to blurt out Kwan's?
Kwan's is awesome. I'll say Kwan's. They're okay. Having my high school reunion at Kwan's, so I'll go with Kwan's. They always pull through when you have an event and you don't have a lot of money to pay for it. Go to Kwan's. They're great.
Okay. anything we want to say in closing, Marilyn? Anything we've missed, or do we have any more questions to this point?
I think it's important for everybody to know that all the events that are coming up, you don't have to be a senior to do it, but it's open to seniors of all ages. And we hope people will see that, especially for the yoga and meditation. It's beyond the mat. You can use a chair. I mean, you don't have to stand the whole time or get on a mat. So it's for everybody of any kind of physical, you know, whatever they can do to keep up with the class, but they don't have to be crazy physical about it.
I guess probably a question that bears asking, is there a newsletter or a website folks to want to know what's going on here at the Council on Aging? How can they get involved?
Yep, we have a monthly newsletter that is online on the town's webpage. If you go to Elder Services, you'll be able to access the newsletter there. If you'd like it mailed to you, you can call us up and we'll mail it out. It's also on our Facebook page, Hanover MA Council on Aging.
What we're going to do right now is we're going to take ourselves a quick break. And when we come back, other than hearing more fun ins and outs from Mountain Weekend, who is our kind of our house band, which is really cool.
Because awesome.
They are indeed awesome. But we're going to call up to our table here, Ginny, Ben, and Steve. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
It breaks my heart to think about all the people who have lost a loved one in this opioid epidemic. For me, it's personal. I'm David Soper from Hanson. My nephew Steven died too soon because of a fentanyl overdose. When Steven's dad and I wanted to make sure his tragic life had real meaning, one of the first calls we made was to District Attorney Tim Cruz. Tim Cruz has been a tireless champion for legislation so families won't have to know this terrible pain.
Paid for by the committee to re-elect Tim Cruz.
Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9watd.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Hey, welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Great tunes from Our house band and our guest later on this evening, Mountain Weekend, joining us and joining us at the table right now. We have Ginny Johnson, who is the executive director of the library.
Correct.
Ben Quell, veterans agent. And Stephen O'Neill. I was joking with Steve earlier, as we have a Dave O'Neill, who is in the Mountain Weekend. So, but he said there's no relation, even though he does have a brother who plays drums professionally. So it's very cool. So we have Stephen O'Neill, director of Hanover's Historical Society. Folks, thank you for stepping up to the table.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Don't feel free just to pull that microphone real close to yourself. We'll start with Ginny.
Bring it.
Ginny, I have to say, I actually, going on the town's website,
I'm not on there yet.
You're not on there.
I've been here a whole whopping 6 weeks.
I wasn't going to mention that, but talk to me about where are you coming from in regards to your previous library and coming here?
Sure. I was the director at the East Bridgewater Public Library for the last 2.5 years. And before that, I was the technical services director at Weymouth. So I'm a South Shore baby born and bred.
Okay. And then we'll move on down to Stephen. Tell us a little bit about yourself, if you will, being the director of the Historical Society.
Thank you. Yes, I've been the director of the Historical Society here in Hanover for the past 2.5 years. Prior to that, I worked at Pilgrim Hall Museum down in Plymouth, where I was the associate director for 12.5 years.
Well, talk about history.
And when I'm not here, I teach history up at Suffolk University as a senior lecturer.
See, I wouldn't see that. I'd see you being like a gym teacher or something. And Ben, tell us a little bit about yourself. Ben Quell, who is the veterans agent here in Hanover.
Well, I work for the town of Hanover. I'm the advocate for its town's veterans. I'm from Middleborough, and I've been doing this job for about 2.5 months now. Prior to that, for the last 5 years, by day I was a banker, and by night I was a graduate student.
My goodness. And I actually saw you in the newsletter, the Council on Aging's newsletter. So that's how I kind of knew you were kind of the newer person who was here. If you would each tell me, give me your thoughts on coming to work in a town like Hanover. We'll start with Stephen.
Sure, start with the history. well, as I tell everyone, my family moved out of Boston in 1961 and lived here in Hanover for about 10 years. I grew up in Pembroke, and now I live in Norwell, so I don't go very far. South Shore means something, and each and every town, from what I've found, has incredible stories and histories. The Historical Society over at the Drummer Samuel Stetson House has incredible collections. Pictures, documents, photographs, objects, wonderful pieces from the 18th, 19th, and now 20th century. And it's creating these amazing stories, diving into it. I was 5 years old when the bicentennial happened, so my parents took me around to everything, and I blame them for this. I blame them for my career. And Hanover has such a rich history, wonderful houses, stone walls in the woods, incredible stories of people who lived here, and I really enjoy telling those stories, researching and collecting all of the pieces to try to tell the narrative of this town.
Very nice. Ben, if you will, kind of talk to us about the importance of taking care of our veterans and being an advocate on their behalf.
Well, I would challenge anybody to find a town anywhere that's more patriotic towards veterans than Hanover. They always step forward to do anything for their veterans. They've recently put in a terrific new memorial that we're going to actually do some upgrades to add some more names to. Anytime you meet the folks here, they always want to know how our veterans are doing, what can we do, what can we, you know, step up and help them out. So, you know, I've always had a passion for helping veterans, but you just couldn't pick a better town to be a veterans agent in because of the folks that live in it.
It's interesting to hear these folks who have passion for a community like this and for their jobs. Why would you want to be involved with the library, Ginny?
Well, I've been a librarian for 25 years, so it's nothing new to me. And even prior to that, I've been involved in libraries since I was 16, so it's been a passion for a long, long time. As far as why did I want to be a librarian here in Hanover, that's a no-brainer. Hanover's a wonderful town.
Okay. Favorite book?
Favorite book. That would be Robert Heinlein's Friday.
Really?
But that's science fiction, so most people are like,
Right. Let's go nonfiction then.
L. Maude Montgomery. Anne of Green Gables.
Okay. We'll go right down to Steve. Favorite moment in history? Is that a tough question to ask you?
Yes. Being a historian, trying to limit one favorite moment in history, that's rather difficult.
Okay, you can have two.
Thanks. Probably for my own career, my own research, having worked in the Plymouth area, on the South Shore, and in Boston, probably the two most important dates, obviously, are the December 21st, when the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, which changed the face of New England, and then, of course, July 4th, 1776, the creation of the Declaration of Independence. Like I said, I was 5 years old when the bicentennial happened. It stayed with me. So those two moments seem to define sort of the origin stories of who we are. I mean, we live with the repercussions of those events to this day. And we see this, you know, every day when we look around just at the flag or when we go down to Plymouth and visit the really underwhelming Plymouth Rock.
Oh, my goodness. It's interesting. If you could have a microphone, because there's been a few times that in my lifetime that I've went down and seen those people who've traveled from far away, and they go, that's it?
That's it?
That's all? But there's so much more, if they only knew. Ben, I would ask you, interesting part of your job that no one would imagine, or interested stories that you hear from the folks that you work with.
Well... You know, when you talk to veterans, they're usually pretty humble. They don't expect anything. And usually I'm telling them, I know you don't expect anything, but you deserve it. And I want to get to know you. And a lot of times, just hearing their lives, you know, when they, you know, 17, 18-year-old off to some jungle in Southeast Asia or listening to a World War II veteran just talk about the things he had to live with and cope with. And they talk about it as if it wasn't a big deal. You know, like, yeah, well, we were all doing it back then. Well, it is a big deal. It's a huge deal because only you understand what that was like. So I think that, you know, that's the thing that hits me the hardest is when I'm talking to these veterans. They just kind of play it off as it wasn't that big of a deal, and it was, and so that's kind of where I get my motivation to help these guys, and also when I consider how they got back from these events, these incredibly horrible events in a lot of situations, and they put their lives back together and just picked up where they left off after high school and made something of themselves, started families and grandchildren, and just, you know, built this nation. So.
Again, you are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD, and we have plenty of seats available for you to come on down to 665 Center Street in Hanover. There is, I've been told, that there is a fantastic door prize. I don't know what it is, but I'm hearing it's fantastic, and if that's what Marilyn is saying, then it has to be fantastic. And just a quick tease coming up. In a bit, we will hear from Lisa and Rob from the South Shore's Morning News, as well as we'll speak with the guys who you've been hearing in and out of breaks on Mountain Weekend. They will be here to talk a little bit about themselves and also play a little bit of their new album, I believe. So we'll look forward to that coming up in just a few moments. I believe that you have a question. And I'm taking over the microphone. I apologize. So,
no, that's fine.
Do you have a question for these fine folks?
No, it's not a question. It was more of a comment that, again, things that I should say that I don't. But I just wanted to mention that Ben is also a veteran, and we thank you for your service.
Thank you very
well.
Much, Ben. Very much. Do you have a question for these fine folks?
I do. I'll ask each of you the same question. Favorite band, Ginny?
Favorite band would have to be Uriah Heep, so I'm dating myself.
Really?
Yes.
Does it matter what form, like whether it's a record or 8-track or...
No,
oh, did I just date myself?
I
had an 8-track.
Okay.
Steven, favorite band?
I grew up listening to the Beatles.
Awesome. We
should ask favorite Beatles song.
Yeah, that's true. Favorite song first. Steven?
You are really putting me on the spot with these limitations. Favorite Beatles song?
Should I just say favorite album? Would that narrow it down?
Sure, that's better. Revolver.
Okay.
All right. Ben, favorite band?
I'm going to go ahead and say it. I grew up on Kiss.
Oh, well, that was my first concert.
Wait. Yeah. Which member of the Army are you?
First album I ever had was the Love Gun album. I had to hide it under my bed.
Okay. See, I always wanted to be Gene Simmons, but my cousin took that role, so I had to be Paul Stanley. So
I was I was big into Peter Criss. Just love the drums.
Really?
Yeah.
We might be able to do the band. I was Ace Frehley.
Again, you are listening. You are listening to, yeah, Halloween is just right around the corner. But what's it like to be in the role that you are in this community? How do you feel as far as being able to serve them, whether you're the librarian, somebody who specializes in history, or serves veterans? Talk to me about being someone who oversees a department or an area in this town that's essential.
Sure. Most of what I do is reporting, both to the town, to the state, even nationally, with statistics, with data. A lot of what I do, or plan to do, I should say, is programming, especially collaborative programming with other departments, Council on Aging, Historical Society. And I work with my staff, obviously, making sure that they're happy in what they're doing and getting what they need.
Same question to you, Ben. I asked Ben, Steve, because the microphone's quickest, closest to him, just to kind of switch it up a little bit.
Well, the department... yeah, I guess I wouldn't call it department. It's just me in an office, but
but again, being somebody who preside over an essential service.
Yeah, I do, right. And I wear, you know, a couple of different hats. I mean, initially the state requires me to be the person who's going to receive applications for Chapter 115, but at the same time, I will also be the advocate. That face-to-face, boots on the ground to help our veterans communicate with the state for their federal benefits for both their service and non-service connected disability claims. And that's a process. It takes supporting documentation. So, you know, it's just human nature that people would rather deal face-to-face with somebody than on a phone or a computer. So, I'll usually be transitioning a lot of times from things that are specific to the town to do on behalf of the state and things that people just prefer to come into the office and have that more personal conversation with somebody for their federal benefits as well.
Steven, same question, sir.
What I find most interesting is really discovering the stories of the people who have lived in Hanover, who have been part of the community, whether it was Barbara Barker Kemp, whose passion for history inspires me to this day. There's not a day goes by where I'm at the Stetson House where I don't look up something that Barbara wrote. I just wish I had had the chance to meet her. Or, you know, the Bonnie sisters, or T. Drew Bates, people who photographed or wrote about Hanover, wrote about this community. And there are people like that now who, you know, they've lived all their lives here in Hanover. And occasionally they'll stop in, like Wally Kemp or Ken Green, and they'll just start with these wonderful stories. And, I mean, that's what I do. I sit there and I can't get any work done, but I love listening to these stories. And that's what we do is how we sort of preserve that. And that's, you know, sort of what my job is here at the Hanover Historical Society.
Do you have a follow-up question or any questions that you want to ask?
I was going to ask Ginny if she could touch on any children's programming that you have at the library.
I would be glad to. That right now we're on a break. About a week long. We have our children's librarians on vacation. We do have story hours 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, for varying ages of children, birth to age 5 or 6. There is a yoga program for children at the library. There is also...
exactly. I don't mean to interrupt, but we were there one day. I don't remember if it was when we were doing interviews or not, and all you saw was like 30 pairs of little shoes.
It's adorable.
Yeah, it was so cute.
And we are going to be bringing back Shake Your Soul for those that were interested. That was a South Shore conservatory collaborative program where they come in, and it's an all-ages program.
What do you do when you're shaking your soul?
Exactly what it sounds like. It's a movement program.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
So, okay, so, but is it your soul, or is it the soul of your shoes?
I think it's a little
shoes?
Bit, okay. We're going to do one of those puns.
Is it safe to ask, are you all residents of Hanover, or is it not a requirement?
I'm a resident of Rockland.
Okay. Residents? Yes, no?
I'm a resident of Middleborough.
Okay.
I live in Norwell.
If I could ask you, not to get political in any way, but any issues that you feel that are affecting the state, the area, the region, that has you concerned, and something that you follow on a daily basis. If you can think of one thing, or two things, Stephen.
I'll let you go first while I contemplate this.
Thanks. It's always difficult with preservation. How do you preserve old buildings, old houses, landscapes? How do you preserve old restaurants. I mean, recently we saw the development, the change in the development of the old Barnside, mm-hmm. which had been Joe's American and Paparazzi's for many years, mm-hmm. and now it's going to become something else. I mean, this happens in history, but, you know, those of us who grew up knowing the Barnside might feel, sadness at this loss. So the idea of preservation, what can we preserve in the history, in the town, in the area, in the region, to preserve its historical character? That's always a question that historical societies face.
Ben, same question.
Well, as proud as we are to help our veterans, I think our biggest concern is the veterans or surviving spouses out there were not helping. And there's a number of reasons that could be happening, that some folks could fall through the cracks. Some people, they just don't come forward for one reason or another, or they're sort of just lost in another town, or they're facing challenges that they just don't want to come forward on, whether it's substance abuse, unemployment, or they just don't know that they actually do qualify for benefits, especially, widows and surviving family members. So I guess my biggest concern is just more outreach to individuals, that we reach them and make sure that they come in and into my office and we sit down and we do sort of a Q&A and try to find out if there are things that you do qualify for. And most likely, if you're out there and you are a veteran or you are a survivor, surviving family member, you do qualify for things you don't realize you do. So that's my biggest concern, is that we're just, what's falling between the cracks?
Jeannie, same question.
I would be glad to. I'm going to land back on my personal, but also affects my professional. I have an adult son on the autism spectrum. So my concern is, how are we serving this population in all aspects of life, and what that transition process is, because that 1 in 50 that keeps getting touted are all becoming adults and the services just aren't there for them.
I want to thank all three of you for coming up here, being a part of this, and sitting in front of this fantastic audience that's here, and the folks who are listening at home. I'm going to give you each an opportunity, if folks want to find out more, whether it's about Veterans Services, more about the Historical Society, or the library. We'll start with you, Jenny. If you could.
I would be glad
whether
to.
It's, whether it's a website or Facebook, whatever you want to give out.
Absolutely. We do have a Facebook page. We also have a website, HanoverMass.com/library, on which you'll find our library calendar. We do have two programs coming up in September. You mentioned Helen Keller coming. The same woman is coming to the library. Her name is Cheryl Fay. She will be doing Amelia Earhart.
Ooh.
And that's going to be a wonderful program on the 19th, which happens to be a Wednesday at 7. And then on Tuesday, September 25th, also at 7, the history of Howard Johnson's.
Oh.
28 flavors under the orange roof, for those of you who remember that.
Oh, my awesome. God. Yeah, where are those roofs these days?
Yeah, exactly.
I think Rob Hackle and Lisa did a story not too long ago, but they're all gone.
Exactly.
We'll find
they
out
are
they,
all gone.
We'll find out when they come back up.
And
there,
last but not least, our Saturday open hours are going to start on September 22nd.
Okay.
Stephen, if anybody wants to get involved with the Historical Society, wants to know more information, how can they do that?
Sure, they can go on to HanoverHistoricalSociety.com. That's our website. We also have a very active Facebook site. I used to say, up until about a month ago, I owned an old little PT Cruiser. I used to say, if you saw a PT Cruiser out in back of the Stetson house, I was there, and you're free to stop by. But I recently got a new Volkswagen. But I am usually there on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And on Saturdays, we are open to the public from 12 to 4. I put the sign out, unless there's another conflict. We have several programs coming up in the fall, some talks here at the Council on Aging, including Les Molyneux, our co-president, talking about Thomas Drew's South Shore. That's his new book, a wonderful collection of photographs of the surrounding towns from about 1900 to 1905. Amazing images. And on display at the Stetson House right now, I have a new exhibit, Hanover in World War I. This November is the 100th anniversary of the end of the war to end all wars. And we have original uniforms, documents, photographs, letters written home. The granddaughter of a man who served from Hanover. He was 22 years old, Private Claire Jocelyn. We have a bunch of his letters that his granddaughter has loaned to us. He was the younger brother of Private Leon Josselin, who was actually killed in action in France. Hmm. We have some letters from Leon Josselin as well. Really dramatic, incredible history. So please stop by the Stetson House on Saturdays from 12 to 4 p.m. I will be there, happy to show you around.
Excellent. Stephen O'Neill. Ben, if you will.
There is a lot of different ways to make contact with me. If you're here in Hanover and you're a veteran or you know somebody, you can always start with just the town website. I'm on there as well. Just a couple clicks and you can find me. Or you can just call Town Hall. They will link you up with me as well. I do have a Facebook page. You can just look for Hanover Veterans Agent. I do pop up pretty easy with any kind of Google search and Facebook. Also, if you want to call the state, you can call the state's Department of Veterans Services. Tell them what town you're from, what you're interested in. They'll give you the name and my contact information, or you can just come on down here to the Senior Center. I'm here Monday through Friday. And on Wednesdays, I'm here late till 8 o'clock at night. So if you know if you're working and you got a commute or whatever, and you want to get face to face with me, just make it for a Wednesday, and I'll be here till 8 o'clock waiting on you if you need to. And also, just want to remind Veterans Day, we have a breakfast here, so it'll be a great chance to meet everybody.
Well, I want to thank you three for coming up here to the table and being a part of tonight's segment, tonight's show. And you are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD, and South Shore's Morning News is in the house. Rob and Lisa up next here on 95.9 WATD. Stay tuned.
South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
WATD-FM Marshfield, WMEX Boston, and 95.9 WATD.com.
Oh, Adventure Car Hop is the place to go for food that's always right.
Way back before rock and roll was golden oldies, cars looked funny. They had protruding, bulbous buffons of chrome at the front and chandeliers hanging off the rear, and long enough to hold an entire hockey team with sticks. Plus, room in the trunk for a dentist chair. Back then, hockey players wore no masks and had no teeth. Remember the hockey sticks? High sticking occurs even in the team Oldsmobile, with results easily imagined.
Windshield broken? I'm Tiny of Tiny and Sons Glass. Yes, your insurance company will pay. 1-888-64-TINYS.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Monday Night Talk. And those are the fantastic sounds of Mountain Weekend coming up in, about 25 minutes. As the gentleman will be stepping up to the microphone. Not only playing, but they also tell us a little bit about themselves and talk about some of their new music. But right now in the house, most of the people are here actually to see Rob and Lisa because they are hometown. So let's give them a round of applause.
Hi. Thank you for having us, Kevin. This is so exciting.
But this isn't your first time. When we used to do the zip trips, can I say that? Is that copywritten? When we used to do the last Friday of the month, and we used to go out, one of your stops was Hanover, was it not?
That's correct. Yeah, we did. We did it, I think, on the last Friday in June, several years ago at the Sylvester Field in Hanover, not far from the Sylvester School, where Lisa and I both attended.
Yep, that's right. Way back in the day.
And I have to say, I learned a lot when I listened to your program. Like this morning, I learned that the three of you each graduated from Hanover High, right?
Yep.
The classic Hanover High School, which is no more, so we're all Hanoverians. That's correct.
See how he flowed when he said that. Me, I struggled. Talk about your fond memories of growing up in Hanover. You each have your stories.
Go ahead. You want me to start?
You can go first.
Well, Hanover has been great because it was a place my parents wanted to move to. We lived in Quincy. I know when my parents got their first apartment, and I was the firstborn, and one of the places they wanted to move to was Hanover because it's a wonderful town, as you know. They looked for a place that had great schools, and it was a place that had not only great services, a fire and police department, but also the water was known for being very fresh, and the pumps in the town of Hanover with that wonderful fresh water. And so we came to Hanover in around 1980, I guess. And for me growing up, it was a great town, still very close to a lot of my classmates, and so many wonderful families in Hanover have been here for many generations, including, of course, the Campbell family. It was great to see Mrs. Campbell out in the audience there and all the wonderful kids and grandkids she has now. And so Hanover for me was a great town. My mom is still in Hanover on Webster Street, and it's a place I really have loved and had so many fun experiences, really, I guess, in school. I thought the Hanover schools were great. I think earlier one of your guests was mentioning Barbara Barker Kemp, who she was my fifth grade teacher at Sylvester School, and it was great. She had a wonderful garden out on the side. You remember the ivy that grows up on the side of the building? And
Most people would see it as a nuisance, mm-hmm. but some people welcome it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, just like you'd have the ivy, you know, at Wrigley Field or whatever, it just adds that character to Sylvester School, and it was just so much fun to go there. And she taught me so much about Hanover history that it was really the first I learned about. Larry Nelson mentioned about the airport in Hanover. That's something she taught us about. She made it part of the fifth grade lesson plan to teach us about the town that we lived in and grew up. So for me, it was a lot of fun. Plus, she let me run the film projector, which was a big deal for me. And it started up me out in my media career.
Nerd alert.
So you actually have, how many geek stripes do you have?
Probably too many to mention, Kevin. In this program. Yeah.
All right. So Lisa, your opportunity to talk a little bit about this community that you grew up in.
I love it. And I've never strayed very far. I went to school in Boston. So my mom's here tonight. Shout out to Mary Zizian. And my parents moved here from Dorchester in the 70s, and she still lives in the house I grew up in, which is amazing. And none of us really strayed too far. I mean, my sister moved out west for many years, but my brother's a firefighter here in town. You may have had an occasion to run into Chris Azizian, and I'm glad you're feeling better if you did. But it's funny, actually, Kevin, when I was growing up, so when Chris, because he's a few years younger, my brother, got to high school, it was, oh, you're Lisa's brother. But now I call him the unofficial mayor of Hanover. Everybody says, oh, you're Chris's sister. So the tables totally have turned. And it's okay. I love you, little bro. It's great. I love this town. Actually, I have to tell you this fun fact about the Hanover Senior Center. My best friend, her grandmother, started the Senior Center in the 70s. Dorothy Griffin worked with Henry Newcomb, a longtime Hanover resident, and started, I think in 76, I'm learning, the Senior Center. She loved it. She wanted a place to have programs and to meet friends. And the Griffin family's still in town. We've been best friends, actually. Susan Griffin. I'm laughing at my mom because she, my mom used to come on all the field trips that we would go on, and Susan befriended my mom on the field trips before she befriended me. But we're still friends 30-something years later, and that's part of Hanover. It's retaining, it's building these great friendships and retaining them. It's part of being part of a great community that I love.
I got to say one thing that I love about the relationship between Rob and Lisa. Rob always has a very clever way of poking and teasing Lisa, or being able to prod information out of Lisa. And actually, he actually released a small little nugget, a little factoid.
It's a great story.
It's a great story, about a recent visit to this very center. Do you want to retell that tale, because I found it fascinating.
And your mom is here.
She's here, right there.
I know, providing all of the giggling in the audience, which is her hallmark. I love it.
It's a beautiful color red she's turning right now. It's fantastic.
Okay, so just a few months back, I wanted to introduce my mom to the senior center. I had been learning a little bit more about it, and it's possible that the shred day that was up and coming was a really big attractive point of our journey. But I said, Mom, why don't I make an appointment and we can tour the senior center and you can kind of get to know what the programs are that they offer. And so we made an appointment, and I think I was a little vague in my email, alone this one. And so when we got here, no one was here, but the door was open. So we walked in. We didn't know anybody was, nobody was here, but the alarm was armed. So we walked in, and we immediately set off the alarm. It sounds a little like this.
No, they're all police.
Yeah.
What? They're going to send the police.
So
this criminal has broken into the senior center.
So I couldn't help it, because there she is sitting in the lobby of the, I did, because she just sat down like, well, this seems normal. I'm just going to take a seat till we figure this all out. And the police came, and we said, the door was open. Everything was fine. It's just somebody just forgot to close the door.
You didn't say, I'm Chris's sister. You didn't do that? That's what I would have said.
No, sometimes they already know, but So anyway, everything was okay. Nothing was, you know, everybody was fine. But yeah, that was my mom's first introduction to the senior center. Today, the alarm did not go off.
No,
you would have heard us.
The door is fixed. Yeah, so that good, was a good.
Were you nervous about opening it, though?
Actually, a little bit. I was kind of scared.
I have to ask this just for my own personal, for the folks who were here who've gathered, what got you... What was it about about radio that made you decide to get into this industry? Rob?
Well,
other than the projector in fifth grade class.
Well, yeah, that was a lot of fun. No, I guess, you know, for me, and I think I've told the story before about my grandfather. When I was young and we would sleep over, they lived in Rockland, and even my parents actually always went to bed with a radio on, and they loved talk radio. So they would listen to, I think Larry King was on sometimes at night, and then eventually I would listen to Larry Glick and David Brudnoy, and so and Norm Nathan and Bob Raleigh. So it was kind of listening to BZ and some of the other radio stations in town that got me interested in radio from hearing the stations growing up. So that was something I wanted to do. And my grandparents actually took me on my first tour of a radio station. We had a relative through marriage that apparently was a sports guy down in Providence. And so that was something that they set up. And it was just amazing for me to take a tour of a real radio station. And it just got me excited from then. And then it was on to Curry and eventually ATD.
Lisa?
I didn't know this is what I wanted to do. I actually...
late bloomer?
Yeah, you bet. So I credit my mom to... I was a shy kid, and I credit my mom to pushing me into trying a few things. How else would I know I loved basketball? Or the Celtics. And how else would I know I love theater? But she encouraged me to do it. And with that spirit, I went off to Emerson College and tried everything I could except radio. I ran out of time in my 3.5 years there. I didn't participate in radio. I did television. I did film, writing, everything. And that was something that was missing. It just so happened that I had a chance to be on a Monday night talk show. Not this one, but another one.
The one that follows it.
Yes, and the rest is history. Well, and then I had a chance to, it was probably talking to Larry.
You should say the seed was planted. And it has grown from it.
Yeah, and then it just, the talk show led to working with Rob, and that was over 8 years ago now, and it's been an amazing ride.
And again, coming up at 8 o'clock, South Shore Live with Stan Blackmer and the gang. You are listening to 959 WATD, and we have Rob and Lisa from South Shore's Morning News, a fantastic informational radio program. It's the staple of our radio station where everything kind of emulates. What folks probably don't know, but what goes into putting together a daily broadcast?
Because
it's exhausting. It isn't just one thing. But it's a collection. You've got the news department.
Yes, that's true.
You've got segments, and there are revolving segments. You've got different interviews. What goes into putting together a five-hour broadcast.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you're right. I mean, I think, you know, Lisa, you mentioned, and Kevin, it is a lot. Yeah, we just as you set up your show, I know you reach out to a lot of different people to set up different guests. There are regular segments, you know, where we have, you know, a tech guy on Tuesdays.
Or going for a walk.
Yeah, or we have our Walk of the Week with John Galuzzo, who's a great local historian, in fact, another Hanoverian.
Golf fashion.
We have Bob Taravecchia from the Equitable Bank. So we have some regular segments that we do to try to provide things, a well-rounded subject for people, because I know, you know, that people are interested in a variety of things. So I try not to use my bias to make it about one topic. So we provide technology and health and sports and business news and local news. And then we also reach out to a variety of other guests. And Lisa and I both help to set those up. And we kind of try to map out the week because it's, 25 hours of radio to fill a week.
My understanding is that it used to be a music show, and it was you, the great Rob Hakala, who slowly formatted the program to what it is today. Is that true or false, sir?
No, that would be true. Yeah, we kind of phased out the music in the morning. The show didn't play a lot of music, really, before I got there. The newscasts were extremely long, and you would play one or two songs, and then there would be more news, and then a couple songs. So it made sense to me to kind of just pick one and go with the other. And so I had felt over the time that if we could just eliminate the songs in the morning, we could do more interviews and local news. And in radio, we want it to be different. And there are a lot of different places you can get music. You can make your own format for yourself. So we wanted to provide something unique and different for the South Shore. So, and, you know, it ended up working out well. So it was, you know, wasn't shortly after 2001, probably, that, you know, we went in the direction we are now.
Lisa, how intricate is it, the work that you guys do together? Because you guys are a team. It's, you could hear the two of you as you're having fun during a particular segment or asking various questions or, you know, setting something up for the pet of the week. You know, seeking that forever home. Sound familiar, folks? And by the way, I will encourage our audience who is here, if you have any questions for Rob or Lisa, they are more than willing to answer those questions. So please.
No matter the difficulty,
because we still have 10 minutes with these.
Except for math.
Yeah. Somebody else said that earlier. We're not going to be talking about math again. No. Absolutely not. But what goes in? I mean, talk to me about the relationship that you and Rob have, because it's something that's worth listening to. You could hear two people talking together and be like, eh, or you could tell that there's some kind of symbiotic relationship between the two of them.
No,
don't look to him.
So I don't think this would work with everybody. I don't think
that's
that,
what I'm saying here.
I don't think I knew that right away. I don't think Rob knew that right away. I mean, I think I'm the second or third co-host, maybe.
Yeah, I've been a variety of some other people for short terms, but Lisa's been the longest.
But I think we have similar personalities in our values and in our desire to really bring out the best in people. We have a certain level of requirements to kind of keep the people in our circle, but we hold each other accountable. I have no problem taking the feedback or giving the feedback when we want to just make something better about the show. But we like similar things, but different things. So when we get pitched, for example, we get a lot of pitches from publicists on what to cover on the show. All the publicists know I love food. I love things related to my kids, animals, and self-help.
And they target you. You're like the first name on the email. Lisa.
Yeah.
Lisa, you gotta do this.
Nobody comes to me with history or science. They
I love science and history and political books. And so I would be booking all those things. And yeah. Lisa will come to me with this guest idea about some, you know, it's, you know, what was it about?
Meditation.
I was like, wow, that's boring. Yeah. Who wants to know about that?
Tater tots.
Oh my God.
I know.
Ended up being a hit book, though.
I know.
You know what's funny, though, is my missus is here. Where do we go? We went somewhere and had tater tots, and you guys were the first ones I thought of. Like, if only they could see the tater tots I'm having right now.
Yeah, a guy wrote a whole book about tater tots, and it was funny. So I think it's great, you know, that we do both have different things that we're drawn to, and I think that makes it great, and I'm open to whatever, you know, Lisa says. I'll say, okay, if you think it's going to be great, then we'll go with it.
Again, we're speaking with Rob Hakala and Lisa Zizian, who are hosts of WATD's South Shore morning news. Probably the follow-up I would ask you, Lisa, is I kind of sometimes feel that you are the foil to Rob's wit and humor. Is that true? Is that accurate?
I think that we can play different roles for each other depending on what's happening. Because
he could be a bit of a scamp sometimes, mm-hmm. and you know how to kind of kind of control him.
Not sure where this is going.
I don't know. I always call him my work husband because I feel like it's that level of getting to know yeah. someone. Like we really just know each other's personalities, yeah. and it.
But it's a fun show to listen to, and yeah. I think a lot of the folks here in the audience probably would agree that it is. Am I wrong here?
I listen.
Well, thank you. I'm guilty. I listen.
I know. I listen.
Because Kevin, think about it. As far as you are from me, an arm's length, we have to sit, 4 hours a day in a tiny room together. So,
yeah,
we have to like each other and respect each other and be able to work together through whatever scenarios come up, like nobody showing up for a segment or missing a phone call, breaking news, whatever the situation, a bad storm. We have to know what the other person needs from us or expects from us, and it works out well. I haven't been fired, so I think it's been working.
Well, and it's interesting to note that probably the person who would consider it, I think, is our new program director, right?
Consider firing me? Do not put that bug in his ear.
No, I would never do that.
No, but I think you guys have, again, it's a fun program to listen to. You both, it's informational, but it's fun. It's not.
Yeah,
it's
that's what we try to do. And, that's what's bring in important. Local voices, and it's about, yeah. The South Shore and the things that you talk about, Kevin, as well on a weekly basis.
And you guys have interviewed a lot of different folks, authors, notable personalities. Who would you say have been some of your favorite or most memorable interviews, whether it's in studio or out of studio?
What, you want to go with Steve?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, I think Steve Carell from the General Store.
Former radio guy.
Yeah, radio guy and former postal worker and currently an actor. And he seems to be doing very well with that.
He's collecting General Stores. I think he buys yeah. one for his wife every year.
Yeah, so that Marshfield Hills General Store. And you're right, we do a show from there once a year.
On the porch.
We do that in July, and it's a great time to do a show outside the studio, which we love yeah. doing, just like you take your show out sometimes. It's great for us to go
like
out
tonight.
On the road. Yeah, like tonight.
Like
I mean, this
tonight.
Is great to be in this wonderful facility. This is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It is fantastic.
So I would say, yeah, Steve's been a lot of fun. That would be one of my favorite guests. I think you enjoyed having...
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. We've got a chance.
But do you have one of your own? Don't let him steal all the thunder.
I really loved, actually, this is sort of random, but we talked to Maria Menounos one day, who is a local girl. She's mm-hmm. from Medford, but we went to college together. So she didn't know when the interview was booked for her brand new book that I was on the other end of the phone line.
Sorority sisters.
So that was really fun because Rob... he said, okay, hello, great, we'll be recording. We had to record our interview, and then he said, good morning, and introduced himself and said, Lisa Azizian, and all of a sudden you hear, oh my God, Lisa Azizian! So it was so nice to kind of reconnect with her that way, and we exchanged some emails after that, kind of kept in touch for a little while, and that was really neat. So I have to say that was fun because the last time I saw her, we worked on a film together, and that was in college. And so I just said, I'm so proud to see where you've come so far in her career. So that was a really fun interview.
Staying with you, so if there was a guest on your bucket list that you could interview on the South Shore's Morning News, who would that guest be?
She was there this morning.
The one and only. Tammy Murray.
I mean, we've done that now. There's nowhere
amazing.
To go now.
I know. We're retiring. That's a good one. A bucket
a one.
List guest. Oprah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Robert. The bar has been set.
No, you know who I always wanted to have on, and I still do, is someone who I whose show I listened to in the mornings when he did local radio. And I think it would be really good to have Tom Bergeron on the show one time because he was so much fun listening to.
Is he not a Massachusetts Broadcaster Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he is. He is in the Hall of Fame and worked in local radio in Haverhill and, you know, has done very well for himself. I think I would like to do that. Soon.
Would you like to ask a question? I'm like sitting here just laughing. I'm like,
I'm just going to stick with the question of the night. Lisa, what's your favorite band?
Oh, okay. I heard you ask this. I was thinking about it on the drive over. I heard you ask this. It's when you have such a varied, interesting collection, it's so tough to pick, but I'll say Smashing Pumpkins.
Ooh.
Nobody expected that.
No.
No, I was going to say Jackson Weatherby or something like that.
Oh, you didn't say local artist. He's up there.
Boy, this is a tough one, right, for me. I'm not really...
John Shea wants to know.
Favorite musical group?
America.
No, I was going to say, I did always like them, yeah.
I
went out to see them a couple of years at the Topsfield Fair, and then I think, was it Memorial Hall? They were there before in Plymouth, so yeah. I mean, that was you know, well, why not? Yeah, Ventura Highway.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to bring it back local real quick before I ask you one of the final questions, and that is, if you could say one thing about this town, one thing that you love about this community, what would it be? Remember, silence is not good for me.
No, I know. I always feel like I got to jump in here. So, I think, Tammy, you touched on it about a sense of community. I think with the town of Hanover, for me, you know, I've always felt, you know, going through school, just a sense of community, whether it be around athletics, the music department. I had so many, you know, friends that were in the band. So I would say a sense of community. People have a lot of pride in the town. They care about, you know, where it's been. They care about the future. They care about the color of town hall. They care about what's it going to be like. Okay, don't have to bring that up.
My
okay,
God.
All right. What's the future going to be like for the Hanover
Should
Mall?
Should it be taupe?
I don't know. So I would say the sense of community. People really come together and rally around things. And you know, even, you know, for certain, you know, families, there have been a lot of recent news about Hanover families and different things. So I would say community.
Oh. You hate when I take your answer, but I'm taking your answer because I totally agree. I think that when you drive through this town right now and you see the blue and the black ribbons tied on the light posts, when you see a group of friends that are running the Marine Corps marathon for Sergeant Chestnut's family, yep. I think even when you see the passion about the fact that Merchants Row has been demolished. I mean, I'm not to laugh at that, but this is just, it's because of the love. It's the love of this town. And so I definitely think it's the people that make it so special. And it feels really unique to the South Shore that you can come together when you need one another. And that's a very special feeling.
Best place to eat in Hanover.
Lisa, you told me a lot. I really like that Sang's. I thought the food was really delicious there. I would put in a vote for that. And then for a local favorite, just from nostalgia, the Friendlies, I would say that was always a fun. Oh, and I love Hanover House of Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
So greasy.
Oh, Justin's Hearthside.
They had the best fisherman's platter. That was awesome.
I love the salad bar. Sang's is really good. Yeah, and it's open late. So when you're up late, you know you have a place to go. I love Sang's.
And I wouldn't be doing justice to our radio station and the folks who are tuned in and the folks who are here in the audience. What do you got coming up tomorrow morning starting at 5 a.m.? Who do you got for guests on the South Shore's Morning News?
Well, let's see. Tomorrow, I know one of the we're going to have our tech guy, David Snell, on at 8:11. One of the things we're going to talk about, we're going to have Peter Brown, who's a good friend of yours from Tiny and Sons Glass. Peter's going to be in to talk about a fundraiser for Alzheimer's, the Walk to End Alzheimer's in Plymouth. And he's going to be in with a special guest.
Ed the Lobster.
Yes. It's 7:11. Peter will be on tomorrow morning.
And then we love highlighting the community. So the folks from the Hingham Civic Music Theater will be in to talk about their 70th anniversary gala this weekend. Goodness. And because I love pets so much, we not only have a Pet of the Week feature on Monday, but on Tuesdays we have a segment called Paws and Claws, where we talk about our pets. Standish Humane Society, they're in Duxbury. They're having a stray cat strut walk in 5K.
That's clever.
Is that a clever name?
That is a clever name.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Yeah, it's coming up later this month. So Joyce Keys is with us after 9 to talk about that. So you can see there's some, segments that are just built into the program, and then we get to infuse it with what's going on in the community. And that's part of what I love about being on WATD is talking about our community.
Shout out to you, Mom.
Yay, Mary. Thanks for coming tonight,
Mom. I'll give you a tour when we're done.
Yes.
This is great. And I wanted to say, Kevin, thank you for inviting us. And I want to say thank you, Tammy Murray, for, this opportunity. This is a wonderful facility. It's my first time here, so I'm very excited, and I think it's great.
And hopefully not the last.
No, the open house is going to be fun, and I'm excited about
the 14th.
Thursday's Bring Your Own Ukulele Night. I think that's going to be great.
Excellent. Now, Rob and Lisa from the South Shore's Morning News, be sure to tune in starting at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. What we're going to do now is we're going to step aside, and when we come back, the gentlemen who've been playing all evening for us, we finally get to talk to them. Mountain Weekend here on Monday Night Talk, heard on 95.9 WATD.
Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Hello, this is Tim Cruz, your district attorney. I'm here with my friend Mary Vaca, who often works with me when people need help.
As a member of the Plimpton Carver Triad, I have seen firsthand how Tim Cruz and his office work to help people that have been hurt and victimized by bad actors and scam artists. The Triad is a partnership between our District Attorney Tim Cruz, Sheriff Joe McDonald, Public Safety Officers, and our Council on Aging.
We're here to help, and remember, do not hesitate to contact my office, your police, or your senior center if you need help.
A message from District Attorney Tim Cruz.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, Chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And what you've been hearing in between our commercial breaks is the gentleman from Mountain Weekend. Gentlemen, can you hear me okay? All right, make sure you guys can hear me. I'll run down names. We have Scott Bradley. Scott, say hi.
Howdy.
We have Dave Brown.
Hi.
Hi. Mike Enos. And Mike McKenna. We have two mics. Very nice. And Dave O'Neill.
Hello, sometimes how you doing?
Sometimes he goes by the name Paul, from what I understand. what I learned earlier. Hey, guys, just first, if you will, talk to us about a little bit about yourselves. How did you guys get together as a band?
Well, we started as two separate bands. And after about 2 or 3 years playing together separately, we came together and formed one band.
All right. As you folks know, we are here live, and we got chattering going on. And I want to thank all the folks who did actually stay to be a part of this. And I hope you'll stay for the remainder of this this particular program. And I have to say, as I've been bad, because I've been like doing most of the talking. And you know who the big music person here is in the room? Right here. People can't see it on radio. But actually, Tammy is. What's the difference? I'll ask you guys this. And you each can actually individually talk about it. Talk about what it's like to be a part of this group and aside from whether being you're an individual act or parts of other bands, what's it like to be part of this particular group?
I'd say one of the best things about this band is it's very collaborative. Everybody takes a turn singing. Everybody takes a turn playing different instruments. We all take turns writing. So it's very collaborative in that way, very different than other bands I've been involved with.
Where'd you come up with the name? The name of the band is Mountain Weekend. Where did that come up from?
Yeah, so the two Mikes here, we both, we have a place, a family place up in Bolton Valley, Vermont. And
another guy from Vermont. Yeah. We had town manager was here from Vermont.
Yeah.
Vermont in the house tonight.
Yeah, and it's just a really beautiful, inspirational place, and that's where Mike and I sort of started to write music, and the concept of being up there in the mountains, kind of get away from the rat race, is really where that name came from.
Now, we'll go around the room as far as Scott. Tell me some of your past musical experiences and some of the stuff that you've been a part of.
From the 80s up until now, I've been in so many different bands, some good, some different, some solo, some just Dave O'Neill and I together, and then we kind of stumbled upon each other. We played a gig together separately, like they were opening and we were on second, and then we just mingled together at the end of that gig, and it ended up by being all of us together. It was pretty cool how it kind of came together.
Dave, do you want to Dave O'Neill? You want to kind of jump in on that?
Absolutely. I started playing actually in a jazz combo, and I got to that age where I wanted to upset my father, so I grew my hair really long, and I joined a heavy metal band called Minimal Brain Dysfunction. You all may remember us. And then from there, I joined up in a band with a mutual friend of ours, Paul Hutchinson.
Yep. God bless his soul. Yep.
Yep. And, collaborated with Scott, like he had mentioned. And then, I hooked up with these guys and been playing ever since.
So what exactly is acoustic roots rock? Because, you think of... I think back when I first started getting into music, and there was... You didn't have so many married genres. It was rock. It was country, or country and western. Or, you know what I mean? You had jazz. There's so many different things that are married to each other, and just seeing this name, I'm like, hmm.
Yeah. Well, roots to me anyway. Roots music is it's American born. It's stuff that kind of comes out of the earth, and there's a local flavor to it. And we're all South Shore guys as well, and all our music is written and played here and recorded here. And so for us, the roots sound is it's very much a piece of Americana, and the acoustic is, I guess it depends on when you see us or when you hear us. Sometimes it's a little more acoustic than other times, but when we joined forces with Dave O'Neill and Scott, the acoustic sound has sort of morphed into something a little bit different, where we have much more full sound now.
Okay, Tammy.
So I've been dying to hear like a full song. Yeah. You guys have only been able to play like going in and going out, so this will be your first opportunity. Yeah. What song will you be playing?
We're going to play a song called Drive, and this is written by Mike Enos, and it's on our album, which we just released, which is called Autumn.
Awesome. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, put your hands together for Mountain Weekend. Thank you.
I've been thinking about that day. Tool now can't remember your name. Looking for something ever since that day. Only I don't know the way. I guess I'll just try.
Mountain Weekend, that's off of the new album, Autumn. And that was called Drive. A lot of harmonies in there. Let's kind of go around the group. I got to ask, influences. I think that's important. It's always important. I know that for some of you, there may be a laundry list. Others, it might be short and simple.
It's going to be a pretty diverse list.
Just make sure you're talking to the microphone. So.
Yeah, start with Dave back there.
Okay. Dave O'Neill.
Okay, like I said before, I was very influenced by jazz. So the early swing drummers, names like Gene Krupa, Buddy Rich, Louis Belson,
nice.
Those guys were my first, you know, I was exposed to drumming because my father was a big fan of that type of music. But, you know, the allure of rock and roll wasn't far behind. So, you know, the pretty standard list of drummers such as Ringo Starr, Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones, nice. John Bonham of Led Zeppelin, Keith Moon, those kinds of drummers. When I joined this band, I kind of shifted gears a little bit more, and LeVon Helm from the band, and you know, Don Henley from the Eagles, drummers like them.
Okay. Mike Enos. I called it from across the room. Mike, sorry, Mike.
Well, I guess that I would probably prefer to pick an era.
You can do that.
And by far, in
no,
my opinion,
no boundaries here.
Hands down, like, I didn't live during this time, but the 60s, the music out of the 60s and 70s,
mm-hmm.
fantastic, great influence, and still listen to that music today.
So. Dave Brown?
I would say some of the earliest stuff I'm really into and still into to this day is probably like Pink Floyd. Things of that nature. Going on up into the 90s, some of the roots music of Uncle Tupelo and Sunvolt, Wilco, that still playing to this day, definitely informs me in the way I play.
Mike McKenna shaking his head. You must be in unison with him as well.
Yeah, Dave and I have pretty similar tastes. That early roots stuff like Uncle Tupelo and Sunvolt. Okay. I'm a huge fan of the Avett Brothers. I really love music that has really great lyrics attached to the sound. For me, that's it's really important. I want to hear something profound when I'm listening to a song. So the Avett Brothers are, I think, probably the best songwriters of the current generation. I can listen to them all day.
Okay. Mr. Bradley.
I started out playing the clarinet, but found pretty quickly that
trumpet right here.
Benny Goodman trumpet. Just wasn't like the coolest role model for me anyway, and Kenny G wasn't around yet. Then I picked up the guitar, and I think guys like Eric Clapton, Muddy Waters, you know, some of the really old blues stuff. I mean, I'm a blues guitar player. My heart is with that. That's not really the way this band is headed, but guys like Warren Haynes, there's so many that you could name. Derek Trucks, Dwayne Allman, you know, those are my influences for sure. And today, this band, they mentioned some guys, the Mallet Brothers is a band I really, really enjoy listening to now. So that's about what I got.
As we just heard one of your songs off your new album, what was the songwriting process like? What is it like with two groups of people who are married together to form this one? What was the process like, Mike?
Yeah, so the way it worked for this album, for most of the songs, either Mike Enos or I would kind of come to the table with the rest of the band with a concept. A lot of times the lyrics were pretty well developed, and then musically we just kind of had a basic idea of what we wanted to do. And then bringing it to these guys, Scott and Dave, have a ton of experience over the years playing and writing music a lot more than Mike and I. So it's actually really cool. We bring some basic ideas to the table, and then we let the geniuses kind of take over and really make the song come to life. And so most of the songs followed that pattern. And then we had a few other actually we're going to play one next, I think. It's a song Dave Brown wrote before this band was actually a band.
So when you guys are writing, this is just a weird question. Is it the sound that comes to you first, so you hum a couple things, or is it like an idea of words or...
A lyric.
Yeah, is it one sentence and then you build something
what
around it?
What ingredient comes first to some of you?
I think it's, for me anyway, it's more of an idea. Have an idea in my head and just maybe be practicing on the guitar, just having some alone time. And it's amazing when the two pieces kind of come together where the idea fits whatever you're noodling around with. Mm-hmm. And at least for me, that a lot of the stuff that I've written and that we play starts off like that. Sometimes it develops really quickly. Other times it takes a little bit longer to like iron out all the wrinkles.
I just want to note to the folks who are here and listening at home, you are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. We've been talking about a door prize that'll pay off. Yes. Sue, we will do a drawing. You'll do that? Or will Marilyn? Will Marilyn do that?
Marilyn? One of us will do it whenever you're ready.
All right, we'll do that. But what we're going to do first is play another selection. What are you gentlemen going to play first this time? Mike?
This song's called Indie Pop.
Excellent. Here they are, Mountain Weekend. Fantastic. What we're going to do now, because time is winding down, we've had way too much fun, is out of the magical bin, we are going to draw the door prize. Are we going to finally reveal what this magnificent door prize is?
Guthrie tickets, right?
Yeah.
I missed the first name. Sorry. All right.
Is it Arlo?
Arlo Guthrie tickets.
Are they really?
It really is.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I know. Leave it to Marilyn to find a great door prize. The winner is 481939.
Check your ticket stubs.
So close.
481939.
Congratulations. Woo! We have a winner. And before we turn to the band and ask them a couple more questions, I think, again, we want to not only thank you, Tammy, yeah, and thank the fine folks here at the Hanover Council on Aging. Anything you want to say just briefly?
Yeah, I really want to thank my board members, the ones that are present and the ones who are not, and also the friends of the Council on Aging just for all the support. So when I say something like, hey, I'm having ATD, come to the center, you guys just come. You know,
and we definitely appreciate you coming here to participate, be a part of the audience, be a part of the broadcast. That is definitely special. And we also want to thank all of our guests from the folks who were here earlier who work for the town, like Joe Colangelo, Jenny Johnson, Ben Quell, Steve O'Neill, Rob and Lisa from WATD South Shore Morning News, and of course, the gentleman from Mountain Weekend who have been doing yeoman's work. I originally asked, can you come on down and be a guest? And somehow it evolved where they've kind of been like the house band playing in between, which has been fantastic. It's kind of added a little bit more zest to this program. But before we say goodbye, and actually you'll play us out with a song, if I was to go around and ask each of you of the music that you've created that you guys play together, is there that one song that you guys can play together, and no matter where you are in a performance, you're like, oh, this is it, and it lifts you up? And I ask that question because I love the Foo Fighters, and I actually just recently saw their documentary, and there's like that was one of the things that they had mentioned, and I'm like, oh, that would be a great song if I ever interviewed a band. So we'll start with Mike McKenna.
All right. For me, it's a song called Bainbridge that's also on the album. It's one of the first songs I ever wrote. I just threw it together on an acoustic guitar, and to hear the way it sounds now with the full band, it makes me smile every time we play it. So that's definitely that's the one for me, for sure.
Scott Bradley.
Mike wrote a song called Sky is the Past, which is like about the summer. It's just a great summer tune, and it's very reggae. We're not going to play that one right now. But, but it's such a cool song. Every time I play it, it makes me smile.
Okay. Dave Brown.
I would say the song Boreal, which is the closing song on our record, which was one of our most collaborative songs. Lyrics are great, and the whole band worked on it together musically. It's definitely the one that gets me going.
And Dave O'Neill.
Just like with Mike, I would say Bainbridge as well. It's an upbeat number. It's got a drive. It's just really got a groove that doesn't quit. So.
Last but not least, Mike Enos.
I would say a song that we didn't record. It's called 5 Minutes.
Is it 5 minutes long?
No. Well, it can be as long, yeah, because okay.
It's a jam.
We play it probably toward the end of a show, and it started off just this kind of acoustic idea with me and Mike in my mother-in-law's kitchen on Thanksgiving a couple
nice.
Years ago, and it turned into this kind of simple blues and G that Scott just goes nuts on, and it's a really, really fun song to play.
If someone will give us some upcoming shows that you got, and also maybe website, social media real quick, before we enter the last song.
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, just Mountain Weekend. The website is mtnwknd.com. We have a really cool show talking about local stuff. September 22nd, we're playing at Battis Field, which is Pierce Playground in Middleborough, which is where we're from. There's an alumni event that we're gonna do that there to help raise money for an alumni association there. And there's a whole bunch of shows on the list on the website there.
Before.
Oh yeah, and the record, you can buy the album on our website, and you can stream it on iTunes, Spotify, and so on.
Excellent. Yeah, and I want to make sure that I thank everybody who not only turned out here And also thank folks who are engineering this, Larry Nelson here, and of course Ben Rabinovich, who is back at the broadcast house at this moment. Want to thank them for doing all that they do. And coming up next, South Shore Live. But right now, we're going to close out. Mike, what are we playing? What's our last song?
The song's called Everything.
All right, here they are. Mountain Weekend. Until next week at 6:15 p.m. Have a great evening.
I would give you everything in life. I can make you sit. I can make you hit. I can only hope you when you are here. I can make you call me. I can.
South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. WATD-FM Marshfield, WMEX Boston, and 95.9 WATD.com.